Our next case is Modern Font Applications v. PetSmart, 2021-1543. Mr. Clegg, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
May it please the Court. My name is Frank Clegg, and I represent Modern Font Applications, who complained in this case. During the hearing, for simplicity, I may refer to the appellant as MFA. I believe Your Honor's know that MFA has two cases on appeal today, and a few of the issues between the cases are similar, so I'll try not to mix up the issues between these cases, and I'll try to be clear on that. There are quite a few issues on appeal in this case, and
Would it be fair to say that the differences between the two cases are direct infringement by employees, which in the second case appears to require an amendment to the complaint, and the other issue being the venue issue that exists in the second case? Are those the two differences?
Well, I believe that both cases, the issue addresses infringement by employees. There is, in the second case, an allegation regarding that the employees are using the software combined with the with the smart device.
Just so that I understand what's going on here, that the issues in the two cases are the same except for the direct infringement by the employees and the venue issue in the second case.
No, Your Honor, I believe the distinctions in the second case, in addition to venue, and I believe that the infringement by the employees is an issue in both cases.
Didn't you just agree with me?
I may have. But just adding an additional point. I apologize, Your Honor.
Okay.
Please continue.
Yes, Your Honor. By way of background, PetSmart filed four serial motions in this case to dismiss in contravention of Rule 12G2's prohibition on bringing subsequent motions to dismiss based on objections that could have been brought in the original motion to dismiss. For example, the first motion to dismiss they brought only included venue. Their second motion to dismiss included venue, induced and contributory infringement objections. Their third motion to dismiss dropped the venue argument and added direct infringement, and then maintained induced and contributory infringement ones. And then in their fourth motion to dismiss, they maintained the direct and induced infringement claims, but dropped the contributory infringement claims because that was already dismissed with prejudice by the court. So regarding the first complaint, it was dismissed because the court claimed that it had insufficient allegations to describe PetSmart's Utah activities. This appeared to be a venue dismissal because the activities in Utah were only related to the issue of venue, and the court did not identify even a single flaw in the infringement allegations at that time. Moreover, PetSmart had not challenged direct infringement, so the complaint could not have been dismissed in its entirety unless the grounds were for improper venue. When MFA challenged this first dismissal, the court said that it dismissed under Rule 12b-6. But as mentioned, PetSmart had not moved to dismiss the direct infringement claims, so there's no reason for the court to dismiss the entire complaint under Rule 12b-6. And MFA wasn't required to allege Utah activities when pleading direct infringement. So if the complaint was dismissed under 12b-6, it was a violation of due process because MFA was not given notice or an opportunity to be heard as to why the direct infringement claim was being dismissed.
You say there was a violation of due process. Did you have the opportunity to respond to those motions?
Yes. The reason I'm saying it's a violation of due process is because, and I'm referring specifically to that first motion, is because in that motion, induced infringement was not an allegation of the motion, and it was never briefed. So the court dismissed that entire complaint. without these infringement allegations being addressed by the court.
So you did get to respond?
Not to that one, no. No, after that dismissal, then there was an amendment, but the amendment was based on an understanding that that was a dismissal for venue purposes, because the court's order said that it wanted, that it was going to allow the plaintiff to amend to identify Utah activities. So MFA added multiple paragraphs addressing the Utah activities, the opening brief, I think on page 21, identifies at least 30 paragraphs that had allegations about these Utah activities. The first amended complaint, and so then afterwards there was this first amended complaint, and that was this, and that one, contributory infringement allegation, was dismissed with prejudice. The court hadn't previously identified any deficiency in contributory infringement pleading, so need to amend should have been granted, but the court didn't really provide any, you know, reasoning, or at least didn't identify the deficiencies regarding contributory infringement. The court merely said,
What would you have added in an amended complaint?
So there's a couple of things. One, if the court had provided some understanding as to why the court thought that it was deficient, then we could have had understanding what the court was thinking was deficient. But there's a number of things that could have been added regarding, just more detail regarding...
Why didn't you add that detail? I mean, the problem here is that your complaints did not allege actions, for example, infringement actions that are plausible. And now you're saying you withheld information that had you included them in the complaint, you would have been okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a reason to withhold information, any intent to withhold information, but, there's, when you have a direct infringement, you have induced infringement, contributory infringement, and, you know, a lot of those allegations are related, right? So the underlying allegations regarding direct infringement support the contributory infringement, where you're talking about the software, the PetSmart software itself has no substantial alternative. There's no non-infringing alternative uses for the software. So when that software is combined with, say, a smartphone, then the smartphone is an infringing apparatus when combined with the software. So, you know, when you look at the allegations regarding direct infringement, they make that supports your contributory infringement allegations, right? And then there was an allegation that regarding whether or not there was any substantial non-infringing alternatives, right? And there's allegations regarding combining those, knowledge. So there's plenty of allegations to address that. But anyways, moving on to the second amended complaint, which was dismissed after the district court stated he found the pleading convoluted. But I'd like to go to the get a little bit more into the detail of the direct infringement claims. The complaint was very detailed regarding direct infringement. For example, if the specific elements of claims 1 and 11 were the specific elements of claims 1 and 11 were alleged at paragraphs 42 to 61, paragraphs 73 to 84 of the Second Amendment complaint. These allegations identify file names, directories, subdirectories, and file types, including, for example, NIB files, string files, TTF files, screenshots of PetSmart software displaying characters using the external fonts, all these relating to infringing features within the PetSmart software. PetSmart's factual allegations regarding direct infringement also include screenshots of formatting information, allegations regarding LCD, display screens, identification of processor names, memory, including RAM and NAND, communication components, including Wi-Fi, cellular, and Bluetooth, each of these addressing specific elements of the claims. So there's a lot of detail and much more than, you know, would be required under Rule 8. And, you know, notably this court has said that patent infringement doesn't have to be claimed element by element. And that was reaffirmed last summer in the Botkin 8 versus Sony Corp case. And then regarding the indirect or induced infringement, the MFA pled that PetSmart was aware of the asserted patent and the allegations of infringement. MFA pled that PetSmart employees gave customers MFA pled numerous advertisements, and throughout the complaint and the exhibits, there's numerous advertisements and emails and different things where PetSmart's encouraging, you know, customers to download the software. And then here, where the complaint alleges that every download of the software constitutes an infringement, by encouraging customers to download, they're encouraging them to infringe. Inducing downloading of the PetSmart software is inducing infringement, because each download constitutes infringement. It looks like I'm still going over my time, so I'm going to reserve the rest for rebuttal.
We will save it for you, Mr. Clegg. Mr. Swetnam Berlin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, and may I say what a pleasure it is to be in court for the first time in a while. David Swetnam Berlin with Brandon Isaacson for PetSmart. The key issues at dispute in this...
So why doesn't the customer infringe when it downloads the PetSmart app onto a cell phone?
For a couple of different reasons, Your Honor. First, in a case that opposing counsel has not cited once, Centillion, which was recently affirmed last October after our brief was filed in Acceleration Bay versus 2K Sports, a party cannot be liable for direct infringement of a system claim if all that it contributes is software for a third party.
No, that's not my question. My question was, does the customer infringe when it downloads the PetSmart, allegedly infringe, when it downloads the PetSmart app onto a smartphone?
I would submit that the complaint is deficient in allegations that would support that inference plausibly, Your Honor, because for a couple of different reasons. Primarily because the allegations relating to the specific allegations drawn from the advertising materials cited by Modern Font itself point to a number of uses of the PetSmart app, none of which is
You're not answering my question. I'm asking a simple question about the customer. Forget about PetSmart. Does the customer infringe when it downloads the PetSmart app onto its cell phone? And if not, why not?
I do not believe that that act by itself constitutes creating the claimed handheld device of Claim 11. Because I do not believe that it's been plausibly pled that all of the elements of that claim are present on the device.
What's missing?
If I may, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me from the allegations of the complaint that the requirements for the down for the computer executable instructions referencing a font package or the installation of an exposure module on the handheld device have been met. Be that as it may, I do not think...
I don't understand what you're saying or what. They say that the PetSmart app draws on these external fonts and that when combined with the smartphone, that the customer directly infringes. And I'm not understanding what's missing in the allegations of the complaint to establish direct infringement.
By the customer.
By the customer, just by the customer.
Well, I guess I would say, Your Honor, that the allegations of the complaint are directed to PetSmart. And for if, even,
even,
even if it were the case that... that
just, I'm only asking you for the moment about the customer.
No,
Does the customer directly infringe when it downloads the app onto a smartphone?
As a factual matter, I do not believe so. It may be that that has been adequately pled in the complaint in terms of relating specific font. I mean, if the app operates as Modern Font has asserted, that may be sufficient to state a claim against the consumer, which is not a claim at issue in this litigation.
So let's assume then that the allegation of direct infringement as to the consumer is sufficient. Why is there not a sufficient allegation of inducement when the PetSmart employees or an advertising encourage the customer to download the app?
Because, Your Honor, this court's case law requires more than a generic advertisement of a software package that contains certain features. It requires a statement or action directed to promoting infringement of the specific feature or advertising or an instruction on how to engage in an infringing use. Not only do none of the advertising materials cited by Modern Font do so, and indeed many of the advertising materials they cite in fact demonstrate that there are substantial non-infringing uses of the software, obtaining pet grooming appointments, getting coupons, ordering retail products, the kinds of things you'd expect from a consumer-facing smartphone app. There's no allegation that from which this court or the district court could draw a plausible inference that PetSmart was encouraging its consumers with specific intent to infringe this patent to allowing the display of non-standard fonts in a network document. There's just that connection cannot be plausibly drawn from the allegations of this complaint.
And is there a consumer joined as a defendant here?
There is not, Your Honor. And there was never an attempt to do so, despite the multiple opportunities that the plaintiff had to amend the complaint. I'd like to address...
Is that necessary for an inducement claim?
If they could plausibly show that PetSmart had encouraged infringement by a consumer through some kind of substantiation in their allegations, that would not be necessary. But what they've pled is not sufficient under the law of this court. With respect to the direct infringement claim, I do want to highlight the Centillion and Acceleration Bay cases, which opposing counsel and Modern Font have not addressed. And they
direct infringement by the employees, you mean?
Direct infringement by PetSmart through the act of providing the software for download, which is the core of their allegation and the core of their argument to the district court. That PetSmart.
I think the only allegation of direct infringement by PetSmart was that their employees were told to download the app onto their phones.
Allegations to that effect were added later, but those don't suffice either to state a valid claim.
No, I understand, but I didn't understand that PetSmart was being accused of direct infringement apart from the employee situation.
I don't believe it's a valid theory, but Modern Font had articulated a theory that merely the act of making the software available for download by a third party was an act of completing the device, whether that was an employee or a consumer. I don't think it's a viable theory, but I do think it was argued below, and I did want to address it. With respect to the employees, I think it's important to point out a few factors. First, The equipment used by the employees is clearly identified in paragraph 70 and 71 of the second amended complaint as the employees' own smartphones and devices. This is not a case in which PetSmart's accused of having infringing point-of-sale machines that employees use in the course of employment. The uses to which the app can be put, the ones I cited a moment ago, none of them relates to the asserted patent, and none of them relates to activities employees engage in the course of their employment. Buying retail goods from your employer is not an act you take as an employee. Ordering a pet, scheduling a pet grooming appointment, similarly. And finally, the only activity that employees are alleged to have engaged in is encouraging customers to download the app. And that's a further iteration of the advertising argument that goes to inducement and not direct infringement by PetSmart. And as I said on the inducement front, there's simply no plausible inference of specific intent to encourage infringement that can be drawn from these pleadings. Finally, I would say, in response to counsel's arguments relating to the procedural history, counsel cannot point to a single instance in which Modern Font was harmed by any decision of the district court. The district court had the authority sua sponte to dismiss the original complaint for failure to state a claim, if it so chose, as long as it provided leave to amend, which it did. And we've cited cases to that effect from the Tenth Circuit. No response from opposing counsel. On the technical procedural issues, it's Modern Font's obligation to show that it suffered harm, and in no case was it denied the opportunity to respond to an argument or to make an argument or to make an amendment that it believed would have cured the deficiencies in its complaints. For that reason, after close to 100 docket entries, the district court was well within its discretion to order a dismissal with prejudice of all of the remaining claims. I believe that our papers address the remaining issues that opposing counsel has raised, but I'm happy to answer any questions from the panel.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Clegg, we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Are you able to still hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So, first, they argued that we didn't raise Centillion in the briefs. That issue sort of doesn't matter. We didn't mention the case, but the issue of combining. Okay. The court asked, will the customers infringe? The answer is yes. When they download it, definitely the complaint alleges that every download infringes. At paragraph 96, each download infringes. Paragraphs 66 to 72 point out that PetSmart employees download the app. Paragraph 79 or 97 of the complaint says thousands of customers download. Regarding inducement, for example, paragraphs 85 through 94, there's multiple pleadings and exhibits, allegations regarding advertisements. The advertisement is a direction to download the app. That is a direction to infringe because each download infringes. Paragraph 71 says employees download as part of their work duties. It does not refer to personal devices. We don't know whose devices those are. The arguments being made by opposing counsel are more arguments relating to as if it were summary judgment. Any inferences are supposed to go to the plaintiff in a matter like this. And so, they're arguing essentially, they're not arguing the pleadings, they're arguing summary judgment, basically. And regarding their arguments regarding waiver.
Looking at the transcript, it seems the district court was constantly asking you questions about what infringes and not getting an answer.
Yeah, so the transcripts that were provided, I don't know if the court has the full transcript or not, I don't recall, but what happened is we walked through the complaint and walked through each of the elements of the complaints and what were done, the employees. As we tried to do that, the district court said, yes, but I want to know how you violate the patent. And so the court would ask questions, but as we tried to redirect back to the claims and then what was done and how those elements were infringed, the court didn't allow it to sort of address that in the hearing because of the questions the court wanted answered at that time. If you look at the pleadings, it's clear that those allegations are there. And there were discussions during the hearing regarding the fact that the employees in the course of their work were, downloading, using the software, and that was an infringement.
How many instances of downloading were there? I think you provided like three different situations where an employee was observed on a device with the PetSmart app. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. Yes, and did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. I believe I'm out of time.
You essentially are. So thank you for your argument, and that case will be submitted.